Welcome to The Practical Intuitive, where each Monday at 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 Eastern, where host Robin Fritz explores mind, body, and spirit for the real world. Because we are all intuitives and healers, and we must all learn to love ourselves and live that love every day. Robin is a trained and certified intuitive and spiritual consultant and hypnotherapist with an international practice based in Seattle, Washington. As the practical intuitive, she covers personal and business intuition, animal communication, mediumship, space clearing, past life regression, shamanic insights, energy healing, soul choice. It's all here. Readings, healings, and funny, warm, thought-provoking conversations. It's Robin Fritz, the practical intuitive, helping you mastermind body and spirit for the real world. No ifs, ands, buts, or BS ever.
Welcome to The Practical Intuitive, Mind, Body, Spirit for the Real World. It's Robin Fritz, and today we are talking about how to create a relationship with your crystals. Yes, we've had a little trouble getting this show up and going, and I'm glad to be here at last and organized and ready to chat with you. So, I work out of Seattle, Washington. I have a worldwide practice. I'm an intuitive and spiritual consultant and a certified past life regression specialist, which is a long way to say that I work really hard to help people tap their own intuitive and healing abilities. We are all naturally intuitive. We are all naturally healers. And there's a lot that we can do to support ourselves in the world. And one of those things is to learn to work with crystals. So today I want you to put aside your misgivings, your doubt, your skepticism, and whatever it is that makes you hesitate to look at working with crystals. And let's talk about how we might approach them and work with them and what that might mean in our lives. Also, if you would like to share a story about working with a crystal, please call in to 202-570-7057. And if you're shy about chatting on the radio, you can always email me at my website, robinfritz.com. That's robinfritz.com. So as in every week, we start our show by doing a quick meditation with the crystal Fallon. Fallon is his name. I don't name anyone in my family. And he is a citrine Lemurian quartz. Sorry. So as we get the show started, I'd like you to experience the healing of a rare power crystal, and that's Fallon. You can tune in to him however your intuition works most strongly, seeing pictures, hearing him talk, feeling his energy, or simply knowing that you're connected with him. And as we do that, then we'll talk about our topic today, creating relationships with crystals. So imagine that you're connecting to Fallon, the citrine Lemurian quartz. He's in the shape of a crystal ball, weighs about 8 pounds. Take a deep breath and take your attention to the top of your head. Now, as you breathe down from the top of your head to the bottom of your feet, imagine you're just letting go of the cares of the day and creating wide open space for you to spend this hour with yourself, with me, and with Fallon, and with the other listeners, and learning to connect and create a relationship with crystals. So breathing down from the top of your head, down your face, your shoulders, your chest, your hips, your knees, and your feet, top of your head to the bottom of your feet. And then as you breathe up from your feet, past your knees, your hips, your chest, your shoulders, your face, and the top of your head. You can feel that whoosh of energy through you if you are someone whose intuition runs towards feelings, but know that you are most definitely connected with Fallon here in this hour today. So what about crystals? Our crystals are ready and they're eager, really, to create a relationship with us. And if you're open to experiencing really quite an amazing world out there. Crystals are a great place to start. Obviously, animals are, because you have this immediate visceral reaction to animals. But crystals are sitting there waiting to connect with us. And it can be fascinating to go to a crystal shop and just experience them. You could run your hands over the top of a tray of crystals, or just stand and see where your eye is drawn to. And then what happens next? Well, if you're someone who is just out there looking and curious, it'll be like we are with most things. We look at them, we look at the trees, we look at the sidewalk, our homes, our businesses, and we don't think much beyond that, much beyond what they can do for us. Our homes shelter us, our cars drive us around town, all of those kinds of things. But if we're really wanting to create a relationship with a crystal, and that's all we're talking about today, then what does that mean to us? It means you support their work and they support your work, and together you have joint work. We'll talk about what that means. And going beyond the traditional concepts of clearing and programming them to recognize the unique abilities of specific crystals and their journeys that they have taken. And what work do crystals do? We're going to talk about that. What do we do when it's time to move on, when it's time to end a relationship? Or how do you gain and lose a crystal's trust, and why does it matter? These are really important topics for us to cover, and we are going to dive right into it. So, in previous shows, I've talked about our relationship with animals, with weather systems, with our homes and space clearing, and it's really no different in talking about creating a relationship with your crystals. And if you don't have crystals and you're wondering what I'm talking about, that's fine. Just imagine a crystal in your mind. And or if there are other things that you work with, people like to work with big feathers and you're doing clearing, or they have a special maybe picture in their home, something like that. If there's something that isn't a crystal that you have a relationship with, is a non-human, so-called stationary object. I never call anything inanimate because nothing is inanimate. You can take the ideas that I'm talking about today and translate them into working with those particular things. So, in all shows, what I've talked about creating our relationships with beings is first talking about our mindset. The mindset that I live with and that I was taught by working with non-humans, I call planetary connection. And I learned it by simply being open to who they were, not making judgments on a tree because it's a tree and not a human or an animal or a house or even a hurricane. Simply introducing myself, asking if they'd like to have a conversation with me, and going from there. And that indicates, first of all, how your intuition works. So there are four main ways our intuition works. We see pictures, we hear things talk with us, we feel their energy or emotions, and we simply know that we're connecting with them. And it's the same way with a crystal. So my intuition taps all four of those main abilities, plus additional ones like I have this world-class talent of being able to smell mold where no one else can, which is horrifying. It could be like roses, right? But in creating a relationship with anyone, especially with a non-human, we need to get past our own judgments about who that other being is, what they are, what they're doing in the world, and why we would even want to have a relationship with them in the first place. But if you look at animals and you look at trees and you look at crystals, what does the mindset of planetary connection teach you? It teaches you that everything that you see out there, and all the things you don't see too that are invisible to most of us, have souls. They have consciousness. They have a job to do, a responsibility to do it, a choice, and opinions. And crystals are no different from that. And the difference for us as humans with crystals and with herbs, are that they are the two things that we have worked most steadily with over the ages, since the great cataclysm that took down ancient civilization. And our tapping back into our abilities to work with crystals and our ability to work with herbs just grew exponentially over time and then stopped about 300 or 400 years ago when we became fascinated by technology and industry and so on, which I'm not knocking. I love all of the benefits of modern life. But one of the things that we're starting to do in the last 50 years or more is learning to tap back into these ancient sources of wisdom and understanding that our ancestors had and that we had in previous lifetimes. So when I say that we can work with herbs and crystals and we had lost that knowledge and we're regaining it, then you can too. It's innate in you. It's passed along through our ancestral line. It's passed along through our consciousness, which taps into previous lifetimes. So that's a long way of saying don't be worried about what you might be thinking about or connecting with or what kind of information you're getting from crystals. Instead, sit back and relax and enjoy the journey. We've worked with different crystals over the years, and now we are fortunate to live in a time when there are lots of really great books out there on crystals and crystalline ability, so to speak, physical things that they can help us with, emotional things they can help us with, besides just being beautiful. And so I invite you in your own time to pick up a variety of crystals, and you can buy a variety for a couple bucks a piece, if that much, and literally sit and work with them, and we'll talk about how we do that. But one of the things I urge you to do as we start out into this conversation today is to learn to treat a crystal as an equal to you, right? So not as a substitute for anything. They don't substitute for our inadequacies, our loneliness, our worldview that says we're caretakers and guardians, even our lack of spiritual development or mind, body, and spirit development, because they're all here to support us on that. We're supporting them on their journey, and our feeling of inadequacy can get translated into, how do I learn more? How can I experience more? And what do I need to do that? And first is being confident in yourself. So I'm going to tell you some really cool stories today. And the story I'd like to tell you about is a crystal that I met. And he ended up telling us his name was James. James was an amethyst. And I met him at a crystal dealer's home. And the minute I laid eyes on him, I knew that he would be a perfect partner for a friend of mine who lived in a different state. And so I picked up my phone and I called her and I told her about this amethyst and I let her tap into it. And she's like, yeah, I really, really want that. Now, she's a brilliant intuitive in her own right. And look at what just happened. I was chatting with her on the phone, describing the crystal, and then the crystal and my friend connected and she decided she wanted it. So I bought him and I took him home with me. And that's when all the trouble started. And it's an example of why I don't use amethysts in my practice. Not because they're not beautiful and not because they don't have really great healing properties, but because amethysts have very soft energy and they're easily damaged. And a lot of the clients that I work with have big issues that need some healing support. And I find that aurolite, which is a form of amethyst with grounding crystals in it like hematite, is a much stronger crystal to work with an amethyst. In other words, amethysts can very easily become emotionally damaged. And this crystal, who later told us his name was James, was emotionally damaged. So when I brought him home and to be with Fallon and the other crystals for a little while, because I had to pack him up and send him on, my friend asked me to have him sit with Fallon for a few days. Well, James, this crystal, was not too happy about that. And I'm like, okay, like what's going on here? And it was literally hostile. So I picked him up and he was, you know, part of a geode. So he wasn't polished. He had all those pointy pieces that raw crystals can do. And as I picked him up, he literally bit me in the hand. I mean, it drew blood. And I'm like, wait, why did you bite me? Like, what the heck? And he just, like, didn't want, and I very clearly heard it say, I don't want to be here. I don't want to be here. I don't like this. I don't like it here. I don't want to be here. And got my friend on the phone, and we started talking with it. Now, she, as I said, is a powerful intuitive, and she also uses all four of those main intuitive abilities. So during the course of the conversation, it came out that James, before he came to the dealer that I purchased him from, he had been very roughly treated at different crystal places, crystal shops, crystal wholesalers, whatever. And if you know anything about crystals, there's a lot of work and sometimes very heavy hard work that goes into taking them out of the ground and then cleaning them up and then shipping them off for sale or breaking them up into pieces or carving them into gemstones or whatever. But James had been really roughly treated. He was very emotional, and he just literally had not been in the right environment for him. So he was basically suffering from PTSD, as crystals can, just like we can. So I'm like, okay, we're trying to help you. What can I do? I don't want to be here. Why? Because Fallon, he said, Fallon is a healer and a truth bringer, and he knows everything that all of my inadequacies and everything. I can't hide from him. And I said, well, you don't need to hide from him or from me. We're your friends. Well, that still didn't work too well. So the next day, I wrapped him up very carefully and shipped him off to my friend. And he eventually settled down and became a really good partner to her. And he's actually become a good partner and friend to me and to Fallon. But it took him some time to learn to trust people. And fortunately, he adored the person that bought him. And it led to understanding how cool that crystals can be and how we have to consider their emotions and their feelings. So we'll be back after the break to talk more about creating relationships with crystals.
Your conscious connection to a more mindful world. Om Times Radio, IOM FM. Om Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. Om Times, co-creating a more conscious lifestyle.
Hello, I'm Lisa Berry. Join me every Monday at 1 p.m. Eastern Time for Light on Living, a chance to see new, hear different, and feel more as I shine the spotlight on all the ways to lighten the load of life's challenges. Light on Living is your link to that new way you're looking for, that new understanding that will enhance your life, and that positive connection that will support your growth. So join me, and you'll gain insight and start to see things in a new way that motivates you.
Opiates has taken everything and everyone I've ever loved away from me. Everything.
I blew my ankle out and I got prescribed pain pills by my doctor.
If making my detox public is going to help somebody, I'm all for it. I just wish I would have had a warning.
Opioid dependence can happen after just 5 days. Know the truth, spread the truth. A message from Truth, the Ad Council, and ONDCP.
Welcome back to the Practical Intuitive Mind, Body, Spirit for the Real World. It's Robin Fritz, and today we're talking about creating relationship with crystals. And I'm talking about a real relationship, a give and take there, where our work with a crystal benefits them as well as benefits us, so that there's this give and take in a relationship, which there should be in any relationship. And so the story of James, we call him James the Wounded Healer because he is quite a healer. James the Amethyst, James blossomed with my friend, and he has become a trusted partner in her work. He joins us when we work together, and he's become healthy. And what did it take? It took someone believing in him, taking good care of him, giving him an opportunity to rest up from his previous life with other people and learn to trust. And, it, you know, isn't that really the process that we go through when we create relationships with people? So it isn't just people that we're doing this with. So if you're out there and you find yourself attracted to a crystal and you reach out and it bites you, you might say, okay, what's going on here? Why did you bite me? And go from there. I mean, if you're this is why people say, oh, I buy all my crystals from an online store in China. Yeah, and how healthy are they? And we can spend a long, long time trying to help crystals be healthy so that they can work with us. But we also have to be a little bit selfish in the process. So if you are willing to work with a crystal and you want crystals to work with for different reasons, they need to be healthy. So if they're not healthy, that's a totally different subject. You can take care of them and help them be healthy, as I have helped a number of crystals, or I should say Fallon and I have helped a number of crystals, and I should really say Fallon, because people are always bringing crystals to us to heal in Fallon's nursery. So when people bring crystals over to me and say, well, can this crystal spend some time with Fallon? I always make sure first to say, Fallon, look, this is not part of our family. This is just a recuperation time for this crystal, because Fallon gets very possessive of his family members. And once I tried to give one of my crystals away, and the person literally got a block away, and I had to call her up and say, you have to bring it back, as Fallon's not willing to let it go, which was my lesson, right, in learning to create a relationship with a crystal. And here's the problem that I see with people out there in their crystals. They have this power relationship, and they get a black tourmaline, and they get a piece of quartz, and they get a piece of carnelian, and they put it on people to heal them, and they force them to work for them. Does that work? Well, yeah, to a certain point. But what kind of relationship are you really establishing then? You're establishing that traditional age-old human power over other things kind of relationship. And we're missing the nuances and even the extraordinary ability to help heal and enlighten us that other beings can bring to us. We're walking around with blinkers on. We're not going to know the power and the responsibilities, the jobs that other beings have taken. We're not going to know the whole diversity of the beings that are out there in the world. And that's why we're lonely. That's why we're not as advanced or as happy or as productive as we could be, because we've narrowed the world down to what's human. And when you're willing to take on creating a relationship with a crystal, you've immediately expanded your world. And I can promise you, if you approach it with the honesty and integrity that you approach the rest of your life with, you are going to be amazed at what you can learn and do with crystals. Learn from them, do with them. All of it really expand our knowledge of the world and our healing abilities. For example, Fallon and I came back together again in 2009, and I say again because after I met him, I started remembering previous lifetimes with him, and it's not like he was going to let me forget him, because we talked back and forth for 9 months before the person he was with agreed to let him go. But I learned an awful lot by just sitting and having conversations with him. If your intuition runs towards feelings, you could sit and hold a crystal and ask it to share its history with you, or what it knows, or what it thinks. And you'll learn amazing things. And one of the things, this is a funny story, one of the things I learned with Fallon is, that he is widely known in the crystal field, that is, with other crystals. So I've had people come to me for sessions and call me up afterwards and say, wow, I never thought about actually talking to my crystals, but after meeting you and Fallon, I went home and I said hello to them, and I heard them talking back to me, and I said, well, You wouldn't believe who I met today. I met Fallon, and they go, oh, we know Fallon. You know, and it's like all these crystals are literally communicating with each other. There was a point and early on, and like I said, Fallon's been with me for 10 years now. Early on, where I'd hear these names floating by me. And my home is open to non-humans because that's part of the work that I do, is work with non-humans. And so there's a certain level of openness in my home where things that are safe and that get screened and so on, if they're safe, they're welcome to come in and hang out with the kids if the kids are willing, my dog and cat and the other crystals. But just getting to meet different crystals and having relationships with them. So Fallon and I do a lot of space clearing, which means that we go to homes and businesses and we help stuck energies become unstuck, or we help the things that are stuck in those spaces, for example, the dead or other non-humans, to move on to wherever they need to go. So when someone calls me for a space clearing, what I do the night before, especially if I know that it's a difficult situation where I'm dealing with entities that I don't particularly want to meet face to face and probably shouldn't for my own safety, I literally have Fallon go in and clear the place the night before. And being always curious, being somewhat of a researcher on my own, I won't say scientist because I think scientists have limited themselves on purpose, but a researcher, I literally ask the people the next day when I show up for a clearing, what have you noticed in the last 24 hours? And they'll say, wow, everything just changed. You know, we made the appointment and everything changed. And I'm like, yeah, right. So it's true, right? Those things are really happening. So also hearing voices around the house, that was a story that slipped my mind briefly. In hearing the names of things going through the house, I thought, well, who's visiting today? Well, it turned out Fallon was inviting other crystals to come and play with him. And so they were having crystal parties to which humans clearly weren't invited. But I'd hear about them from other people and that I knew that had big crystals. So there's a lot going on that we're not aware of. And if you want to know what your crystals are up to, like what they're doing on their days off and that kind of thing, just like us, ask them. Find out. Use your intuition to ask them what they're doing. And you'll introduce yourself to a whole amazing world. So there's a category of crystals called Lemurian seed crystals. And they're usually small little pointed crystals, and they kind of have a pinkish cast to them. And I started calling them Fallon babies, as in relatives of Fallon. And I was at a crystal shop with a friend one time, and the two of us and the owner of the shop were sitting there, and we were looking at all the different crystals that she had available for sale. And she had a couple of boxes of crystals. So she pushed a box over to me and she said, check these out. And I opened the box and all of a sudden you could hear all these voices chatting. And the three of us, our heads jerked up and we all stared at each other. All three of us heard all these voices. And I slammed the lid shut and all the voices stopped. And then we're looking at each other like, what was that all about? So because I can't stop myself sometimes and I'm curious, an explorer and a researcher, I lifted the box again. So what it turned out was, again, these crystals were intensely connected to Fallon, and we can't even begin to understand how those relationships have carried on over the eons, but they have. Apparently crystals know each other and they can communicate just like you know, telepathically, like we can with other beings. So that's when we started calling them Fallon babies. Is after asking them to calm down a little bit, they started chatting with us and told us that they knew Fallon and were just really excited. And so the next time I brought him into the shop, we brought out all the little Fallon babies and let them have their little party. Okay, so what does this have to do with creating a relationship with your crystals? Well, it means that it's the same way you would actually create a relationship with someone else, right? So when you're sitting down and looking to buy a crystal and trying to decide what crystal to get, trust yourself. Trust your intuition. Just the same way as you look at somebody walking down the street. And I'm out 5 times a day or more with my dog, and we see a lot of people on the street. And there are people that are walking towards you that you go, okay, not going to even say hello to this person. There's something not right there. Or others are sad or whatever. But you can tell with other people who you might want to talk to and who you might not want to talk with. And the same thing with the crystal. So if you go into a shop and you run your hands over, you take a look at, or you just look around the room, where does your eye go? Pay attention to that. That's your intuition and that crystal that might be interested in you trying to get your attention to draw it to a particular area or a particular type of crystal that you might not even know you were interested in. All of the crystals I've met have been similar to that. And so the question then is, what happens next? So here's an example of what happens next. Somewhere at some point had suggested I might like to have a Shiva Lingam stone. Shiva Lingams are rocks that come from a particular river in India, and they're really beautiful, and they're all, I don't know, I want to say painted, but they're not painted. But just look, Google them, and you'll see online how they're all, you can tell Shiva Lingam because they all have the same general appearance. They're small and they're large. And they're traditionally used for fertility, as in having babies, but they're also used for grounding and balancing and for working with the planet, which is what I do. So I decided to go looking for a Shiva Lingam, and I went to an area where there were 3 different stores, and I parked the car, and I got out of the car, and I thought, okay, good way to let my intuition help inform me and help me find a Shiva Lingam is to ask. And so I stood on the street, and I said, okay, which store is my crystal in? And I was clearly drawn to one store, so I went in there, and I asked the storekeeper that I told them I wanted a Lingam stone. And I said, what I do know about it is that it's large and it's not openly in sight. It's not right out here in sight. So they looked at me kind of weirdly, as many people do. And they walked over to a display case and unlocked the display case, and there at the very bottom, on the very bottom of the display, actually tucked out of sight, so you would have had to bend over and look, so not a very good display case for somebody trying to buy something, right, because it was kind of hidden away. They pull out this Shiva Lingam that's the size of my hand, and I swear to you that when they pulled the crystal out, or the Shiva Lingam, the stone out, and turned to me, the light coming off of it was almost blinding. I mean, I was like, I had to hold my hand up in front of my eyes because that's how blinding the light of. This is a brownish stone. There's no way it gives off light like that. So I was intuitively seeing this powerful light off the stone. And all of a sudden, and this doesn't always happen to me with crystals, even with Fallon, all of a sudden I recognized this was a sacred moment, and I held out my hand, and they put the crystal in my hand, and or the Lingam stone, and I just, you know, looked at it like, oh my gosh. So over the course of several minutes, I decided to buy it, and they wrapped the stone in tissue paper really solidly and then put it in a sack, and I went home. So, and I get home, and I'm all prepared to take this stone out of the sack and put it in a safe space and just admire it. I reached in the sack, and it was literally as hot as a fire. I mean, I felt like I was burning my hand, and I ripped my hand back and went, wait, what's going on in this sack? And then I tried it again. It wasn't quite so hot, and I picked it up and unwrapped, and it was literally just wrapped in tissue paper. Put it in my hand, and I was just stunned because it was warm. I mean, it was warm. You could tell the difference. And it had just been sitting in the sack. And over the next day or two, it changed. It would be really cold when I picked it up and really warm. And I mentioned that experience to someone, and they said, well, I've heard that some people say that a reaction like that means that that's really your crystal. I don't know if it is or not, but it's one way, that very dramatic way of realizing that, like us, crystals are alive and they have their opinions. And I was learning, and this crystal is clearly part of my life and has been ever since, and is a cherished, one of the very many cherished members of my family. And that's one way you can identify how your crystals are. There are easier ways of just, wow, that one really interests me, or I just really feel a connection there, and it's a good connection, right? Go for the good connections, because connections aren't always of the best variety. So what do you do about taking care of them and sitting down then and taking a relationship, having a relationship with them once you acquire a crystal? And that's where I'd tell you to throw out all of the weird stories that you hear or read about or people tell you about. Like, oh, well, you have to bury him in the backyard under the light of a full moon, a new moon, or some moon, or no moon, or I don't know what kind of a moon. Like, why would you do that? I mean, why would you get a crystal all dirty in the backyard in the dark? Do that around here, and a raccoon or a fox or a coyote or something would dig it up and make off with it, and nothing flat. So I don't know. It doesn't make any sense to me. But again, you know, I'm kind of a straight-laced person, and I'm not going to go, you know, bouncing around and weird things. I'm just a very practical person, so I invite you to be very practical. Are you going to bury a crystal in the garden, or are you going to sit there and look at it and go, hey, introduce yourself? I say, my name's Robin. I do this in the store before I bring them home. Would you like to come home with me? You've got Fallon and a whole bunch of other crystals there. And then you have a conversation, or you feel the conversation, or you simply know the conversation, however your intuition goes. You spend some time with it. We come back. I have a really cool story to share with you, and then some tips on really getting down into creating a relationship with your crystals. Hang on. We'll be right back.
A conscious lifestyle for a mindful life. Om Times Radio, IOM FM.
Ascending Hearts is no ordinary dating site, but a spiritual dating site with a purpose, to link you with your soulmate. We engineer the serendipity so you can trust that you will attune with someone that has the same matching vibration as you. Ascending Hearts, the conscious dating site for the spiritually aware. Try Ascending Hearts for free. AscendingHearts.com.
Hello, I'm Sandy Sedgbeer, host of Om Times Magazine's flagship radio show, What Is Going Om? My passion is sifting through information, research, and innovations from New Thought teachers, speakers, and researchers pushing back the boundaries of what we know about life, energy, metaphysics, and the universe. I love shifting perceptions about who we are, why we're here, and how quickly impossible becomes normal when we open our minds, expand our awareness, and accept that the only limits that exist are those we place upon ourselves. So if you're the kind of forward-thinking, eager investigator of what lies beyond the current reality that most perceive, why not make a date to come play with me in the field of possibilities at 4 p.m. Pacific Time, 7 p.m. Eastern Time every Thursday, and together we can discover what's really going on.
Imagine being fired because of who you love. Imagine being denied medical treatment because of who you marry. Imagine being evicted because of who you are. Millions of Americans don't have to imagine this. They have to live it. Because in 31 states, it's legal to discriminate against LGBT people. Get the facts at beyondido.org. Brought to you by the Gill Foundation and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to the Practical Intuitive Mind, Body, Spirit for the Real World. It's Robin Fritz, and so we're talking about creating a relationship with crystals. So let me get you some tips, things that I've learned in working with crystals. And then I hope to have time to tell you an amazing story I have not told publicly yet. So here's the thing. You get a crystal home. You want to introduce it to your home, your animals, your other crystals, whatever. And you need to be really careful about that. There, a crystal dealer that I worked with for a long time called me up, and she had a very rare kind of crystal. And she said when she sat and talked with the crystal, like I had suggested to her before, she started getting names for them, you know, which she hadn't done before. And this one particular crystal said it was Murphy's crystal. So she thought it belonged to my dog, Murphy. And my animals are all intuitives and healers in their own right, quite powerful, old ancient souls. So I agreed, and she mailed the crystal to me, and I took it out of the box, and Murphy walked up to it and promptly had a seizure. And it was the crystal. And she literally could not go near it. And I promptly wrapped it up and put it away. And I was like, whoa, I mean, is this even possible? Like, what is going on here? So understand this. Crystals are like everything. They have their own energy. But because they are crystals, and crystals have these abilities to transmit huge amounts of energy, those energies may not always be compatible with you and your family members. So over several days, I noticed that it wasn't an accident, or it wasn't a coincidence. Every time that crystal got near Murphy, she would back up and not be well. So I packed the crystal back up and sent it back. I mean, there's no way something that was harmful was going to stay in the house. And I felt bad, but I was also very upset and somewhat frightened for my dog and for our household of having something that powerful that wasn't healthy for us. It's not to mean it wasn't healthy for other people. And according to my friend, it took a while for that crystal to get calmed down and get over being rejected by us. But sometimes the energies don't work. So if you think you have a connection to a crystal, make sure it's a healthy connection, because it may be, you know, trying to push you away, or it may not be the right energy for you. And I think that's a nice reason, or a practical reason, why there are many different crystals that can do the same thing for you. So people like black tourmaline, I don't particularly, it doesn't do much for me, but other people do like it. I like columbite for grounding and clearing. Onyx people like, jet, obsidian. But some of these crystals have really strong effects on other people. I work with columbite with clients, and some clients can't be around it. I mean, I hand it to them and they're like, oh no, I can't, you know. So be very aware of the energies of the crystal and your energies and the energies of the other beings in your house, especially other humans and animals. And if you see a reaction like my dog having a seizure around a crystal, not a full seizure, but just enough of a reaction to know it wasn't a good one for her, then understand that that crystal may not be yours and may need to move on to someone else or return to the store or whatever. And, you know, that's a point where you would hopefully say, I'm sorry, this relationship isn't going to work out, and I hope that you find one that does. I've had people gift crystals to me that no longer worked in their homes, or they were worried that their sharp points might injure toddler children. And the crystals have come, and we've let them just sit and clear by themselves until they decided if they were going to join the family or go on for somewhere else. That's why I say our home is kind of a crystal nursery. But when you have decided that this partnership could probably work for you and you bring them home, then look up the properties of that particular crystal, because some you can wash in water, like Fallon. Fallon's a polished crystal ball. Not my idea of what they should have done with him, but it had already been done by the time we met up again. So you can't, you know, you have to be really careful, right? So I have a special suitcase. I have all these claws that I wrap him up in. And when I give him a bath, which he loves to water on him, I line sink, the kitchen sink, with heavy dish or bath towels. And, you know, just like you'd wash fine china to make sure he doesn't get chipped or scratched. Run cold running water on him, let him dry, and he loves that. Other crystals will melt in water. Other people put crystals in sea salt, but sea salt can damage certain crystals. Sunlight will damage. You put an amethyst in sunlight, the sun is going to fade it. So learn the properties that people have already learned by trial and error of ways to clean your crystals. Clearing them is something else. A lot of crystals can clear themselves, but there are crystals with really great properties of doing that. Quartz is one, but kyanite is the one that I really like, besides phallon. I mean, phallon is good at everything. But I keep a big chunk of raw kyanite, and people will come in, take their jewelry off, put their jewelry on phallon. At the end of our session, they feel like, oh my gosh, their jewelry feels really good. So there are crystals that are naturally good for clearing. And then when I do a clearing of the house, I'll go around and ask all the crystals, hey, do you want a little smudging, or what do you want? Do you want some spray? You know, which ones are susceptible to the spray and which ones aren't, which ones like it and which ones don't? Or do you just want to smell the smoke? You know, what's up for you? So I'm literally respecting who they are as beings and their autonomy and their our choice to be part of our home, and try to make life as pleasant for them as possible. Because isn't that what you do with family members in the same way that you would do it with your crystals? Working with a crystal, people talk a lot about programming them, and I'm like, really? I mean, do you want to be programmed? That just horrifies me. So I haven't really gotten any further into the whole idea of programming. But people say, well, you can sit and charge a crystal to do what you want it to do. And I would say that's rude. That's damaging to the crystal. That's not respecting it as an autonomous being with its own soul path. So phallon has been alive for thousands of years. And so he remembers our lifetimes together, which I don't always, because I'm in this current body. I do remember some, but he's been in the same body for eons, lifetimes in human terms. So I don't program things. And what I would say to you is, whatever seems respectful to you, that's the path that you should walk on in working with crystals. You're creating a relationship, a partnership with them. That means a partnership of equals. So ask them what they need to work with you. Do they need some time off to recuperate? I've had crystals that just needed to relax for up to a year before they were ready to work with us in our healing, in intuitive and healing practice. And some just want to hang out, which is fine. Your family members, you get to do that. I don't program anything, in other words, and I urge you not to get into that mindset where we're programming, where we're forcing things to do what we want to do, because I can tell you from my experience that they're not going to be as efficient. They're not going to be as great a partner as you may need or want. And you may not be doing your best work with them because they're not willing partners. They're being forced into doing it. So find out what they need for themselves and just ask and get the answer the way your intuition works most strongly. And I said before, I don't work with amethyst, but I do like aurelite in my practice, although I do have pieces of amethyst around the house because they've been gifted to me, or because I got them before I knew that they were too soft for my practice, or for whatever reason. They're beautiful and a lot of people love them. And if you do, that's great. I mean, that's perfect. You're finding ways to create a partnership. When I go to do a clearing, or when I'm ready for clients to come and be with us, I will literally go to the crystals and say, who wants to work with me today? Who wants to join in this session on this particular topic? And my eye will be drawn to certain ones that want to join in, and those are the ones that become part of that session that day. I currently have a black amethyst, which is really interesting. I don't know how to describe it other than to say it looks like amethyst, except it's black. And it's part of a raw form, so it's amazing, and it has done extraordinary multidimensional work with clients, and I literally sit there and watch it pull things out of them that have been in there for a long, long time. So amazingly strong crystal, and I'm still learning all the things it can do, but it spends its days sitting next to Fallon. So there you go. Did I program it? No. I just like knew I wanted a black amethyst after meeting one particular one and making a friend buy it, and then she didn't want to sell it back to me when I decided I wanted it, so I had to go look for my own. And found it, and it's amazing, and I'm still learning about it. And that's what's fun about relationships, right? I mean, with all the humans that you know, don't you learn something about them every once in a while or deepen your relationship in some way or another? And that's what you should be doing with your crystals, making friends. Learn the properties, look them up in books, and then damage crystals. So, wow, what do you do with a damaged crystal? Well, I told you about James, the wounded amethyst who bit me and then was afraid of Fallon because we would know the truth about him, which was that he hadn't had an easy life up to that point, and he needed, you know, respect and understanding, and he didn't need all of his faults broadcast to the world, which was fine with us. And he's now become a wonderful, cherished partner. But be careful where you get your crystals from. You know, don't just buy them because they're cheap online. Buy them because you know the place that is selling them respects crystals, that they make sure that they're healthy there in the store so that they can go on a shelf and be healthy in somebody else's house. They know what to do or for a crystal that isn't as healthy as it could be, or they know not to buy those crystals in the first place. Sometimes life is just too short, and the damaged and the wounded crystals need to go somewhere else. And if it's not your house, don't worry about it. Somebody else will try to help them. Sometimes we need to move on from our relationships with our crystals. Use your intuition about that. Like James was never going to be part of my house. The amethyst, the large amethyst I was given, broke into several pieces, just like the person who gave it to me was afraid it was going to happen. But it spent some months here clearing. Why? Because the original owner had become very ill emotionally and physically, died of some form of cancer, but also had serious mental health issues. And those transferred into the amethyst. It's like the amethyst absorbed some of that. Maybe it was trying to help heal this person, maybe something else. But it was very, very ill crystal. And the person who gave it to me recognized that and said, I don't feel comfortable with this crystal in the house. And it wasn't just around her daughter. She didn't feel comfortable for herself. And it took many, many months of this crystal sitting near what I call Raymond the Jade Tree. It's an actual jade tree my dad gave me. And Raymond has been 55 years old for at least 10 years. So Raymond is part of the house, and he's his healer in his own right. And that amethyst sat by Raymond for months until one day it said, hey, I'd like to join the family. And I said, okay, are you sure you don't want to move on and go with somebody else? No, I like it here. Is it okay if I stay? And I go, yeah, sure. We love having you. So that's how a damaged crystal came to live with us. And I just urge you, if you really want to work with these guys, to just bypass the damaged ones and find healthy ones. We have enough to do in the world. If you want to gain the trust of a crystal, or if you're afraid of losing trust, then worry about being honest. Your honesty and integrity is something they can see immediately, whereas maybe other people can't see that as easily as us. Crystals are basically windows into our souls in many ways. And so be honest, because they already know who you are. They know we're not perfect. They're not perfect either. And together you can become better than you were. But be open, be honest, tell them what you'd like to do, ask them if they're willing to join in with that, and if they're not, say, fine, that's okay, maybe another time. And spend some time with them. I have spent time just sitting with my crystals, hanging out with them, holding them, not even talking, just being with them, you know, just like you sometimes sit in silence with your friends and your family members. Sometimes just being together is all you need to do. So I'm out of time for today. I can't tell you the cool story that I was going to tell you. I will tell it another time. It's an amazing story about how in ancient times we worked with crystals and how we've come back to doing that. And the amazing giant crystal I met and what it's up to in the world. But I ran out of time to tell you that story. But please, in summary, treat your crystals like you would want to be treated. And that's a great starting and ending point in any relationship. So next time on July 15th, my show will be Lessons from the Horse Healers. And I don't mean humans, I mean horses. And I don't mean healing us, I mean healing other horses. There are very few times in my life where I felt like I needed to be on my knees. I was so impressed by what I saw and so astounded by what I saw. And meeting the horse healers was one of those times. They are amazing. They are out there in the world. We have no idea that they're out there. And I will tell you the involved story of how I met the horse healers, what they are doing for other horses, what they can do with us and for us in working for our own healing. It will be an amazing time. So join us on July 15th. And as we end today, cross your hands on your heart. Take a deep breath, feel yourself getting grounded and balanced back into your body after this hour with crystals. Let me know how I can help you. Intuition, animal communication, space clearing, mediumship, past life regression, soul clearing, robinfritz.com. Thank you, and we'll talk again on July 15th. Take care.